Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Adventures in .NET. I'm Sean Kleber, your host, and with me today, your co-host, Caleb Wells. Hey, Caleb.
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
Good. You've been traveling lately, haven't you?
Yeah, a good bit. Yeah. Spent Memorial Day with my brother and his family. Hadn't seen them in a while. So, and had a conference a few weeks back for work and ended up getting COVID and all kinds of fun stuff. It's been a busy couple of weeks.
Wow. So you managed to get through it. Did you have many symptoms?
No. It was very mild, right? Yeah, I'm vaccinated and boosted. And it was really just like kind of like, you know, flu-like symptoms. Oh. And I just isolated myself for about a week and all good. So
the rest of the family's
yeah.
good? Yeah. Oh, good.
Yep. Everybody's fine. No one else got sick. So, which that's a blessing. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing pretty good. You know, I didn't do too much for Memorial Day, but I'm actually going to take next week off from work. I'm going to go up and see another doctor about my finger and see what I can do.
Mm.
See if I can get that replaced or the joint in it replaced or something along those lines, something to do better. You know, I still can't.
Well, fingers crossed but, that they get your finger figured out.
Yeah. Great. Thanks.
Yep.
Well, let's bring on our guest. Let's bring in our guest. Welcome, Ferry 2.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Ferry.
Hey, folks. This is Charles Max Wood from Top End Devs. And lately, I've been working on actually building out Top End Devs. If you're interested, you can go to topenddevs.com/podcast, and you can actually hear a little bit more about my story, about why I'm doing what I'm doing with Top End Devs, why I changed it from devchat.tv to Top End Devs. But what I really want to get into is that I have decided that I'm going to build the platform that I always wished I had with devchat.tv, and I renamed it to Top End Devs because I want to give you the resources that are going to help you to build the career that you want, right? So whether you want to be an influencer in tech, whether you want to go and just max out your salary and then go live a lifestyle with your family, your friends, or just traveling the world or whatever, I want to give you the resources that are going to help you do that. We're going to have career and leadership resources in there, and we're going to be giving you content on a regular basis to help you level up and max out your career. So go check it out at topenddevs.com. If you sign up before my birthday, that's December 14th. If you sign up before my birthday, you can get 50% off the lifetime of your subscription. Once again, that's topenddevs.com.
So we like to start off the show with our guests to give us just kind of a brief little introduction. If you can tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into development and how you got into .NET.
Yeah, actually, I'm currently working as a lead developer of a startup company. And besides that, I'm also created my own business a few years ago. Before I started my own business, I was a software architect for some local corporates to do the developments and also coaching my junior developers. And when I'm free, I like to research on technologies and programming, also cycling and table tennis. So if there's some local audience for this podcast, you can just communicate with me and see if we can, whether we can go cycling together.
table tennis, what some other people might call ping pong.
Yeah.
Some
depends people on where you're from,
don't
right?
Don't know. You know, the proper call it. Yeah.
Well, you know, in the South, we call it ping pong. I mean, you know, of course, you know, we're Southerners. So.
We also call ping pong in Hong Kong.
Okay.
All right. So how'd you get into .NET?
Yeah, it was funny because when I was studying in university, I was teach about Java, actually. But however, when I start working on the second company, I start using .NET at around 2003, I guess. So at that time, I'm start learning .NET and stick to it for most of the time doing the backend developments. And, you know, at that time, that we are still using WinForms and not even have wizard page, as I can remember. So throughout my career, .NET is my mentality stack to use.
Cool. Same here. So can you tell us a little bit about the startup and what soft technologies y'all are using there?
Yeah, actually our startup is working on messaging products, and we have been using .NET for a while because my startup company was an enterprise-oriented company which built chatbots and use .NET Core and entity frameworks, as this should be very familiar with other .NET developers, I guess. We also use SignalOut to do some real-time communication between clients because, as I said, we are doing a messaging product. We send out, I think, tens of millions of messages per month, I guess. Actually, our company is also an official partner of Facebook, so there will be huge amount of messages to handle. Therefore, our engineering team choose .NET because it has the efficiencies required to handle this situation, also to balance the development experience. As you know, we can use some other technologies like Node.js or whatever because nowadays developers are hard to hire for .NET technology somehow. But we don't compromise it. We still try to balance the development experience and also the efficiencies. So we still stick into the .NET technology and C#.
Mm-hmm. So are you doing everything on-premise, or are you using Azure?
Actually, we are not hosting our applications on Azure because I'm not in the decision position to choose the cloud platforms. Currently, our products are hosting on GCP. Mm-hmm. However, for development side, all technologies we use are mainly Microsoft technologies.
So you wrote an article on Medium talking about automation and some open source tooling. Are you using them in your code, your projects?
Yeah, actually, this was some R&D task for me in my current company because may I talk a joke about our development experience in our current company?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when I start joining this company, we try to push some industry standards to do more serious code review. So I introduced some auto code review tools, and then it may be scary for someone to look at because the tools report our code base takes 7 years to manage and fix. So it was quite scary. Oh, okay. Besides that, actually, as I just said before, because our company is doing a messaging product, so we also have to let our users to do some periodic task to retrieve some data from different places or updating the database. So we having this task to do some research because currently our developers are writing some quite manual way in the code base to do some repetitive tasks using the, for example, they write their own functions to call task.one. And set a parameter to see whether the task should stop or not. So this is not a good way to do that because we don't really invent the wheel, right? That's why we are trying to find out some libraries to do that instead of we implement ourselves.
Yeah.
So you think .NET is a good technology for startups to use? That you know, somebody else out there is thinking about starting their own little company, would you recommend that they go with .NET?
Actually, personally, I love .NET, but in reality, we also struggle with a hiring problem because, as you know, in startup environment, you have to increase your manpower quite rapidly to catch up this product development cycle. However, I don't know why, but it seems like the .NET talents is not easy to find, especially in APEC region, because actually I am the development lead of our APEC team. So, and we all have suffering some talent acquisition problems because we can't find some good .NET developers for our company. And this situation continues for some months already.
Yeah, I think that's a common problem with a lot of technology companies right now. Doesn't matter what kind of technology you're using, but trying to find good talent out there is very, very tough. A lot of companies are struggling. You know, there are some companies that are doing some layoffs because of the downturn in the economy, the U.S. economy at least. So the pool might kind of, you know, get a little bit better for you to find people out there that are looking for a job after they've been laid off. So hopefully that goes well for you. So what technologies with .NET are you using?
Also, we use SignalOut as I described before because we have some real-time communications between our clients, just like WhatsApp, Telegram. Mm-hmm. As you know, that some instant messaging product. We are doing similar things, but for SMB and enterprise. So we also containerize our application for each of our customers. Therefore, when our clients have to communicate with other clients, we use SignalOut as some built-in communication medium.
So how do you manage, you mentioned millions of messages a month. How are you managing resources and load balancing, scaling? Is containerization one of the ways that you're managing that?
Yeah, it's because in our company current architectures, we try to scale out with our customers using the Kubernetes on Google infrastructure. Yep. So we containerize our .NET applications, and sometimes we also contain a standalone MongoDB servers and Redis cache. So we have a Kubernetes pods for each client, and currently we already have almost 4,000 clients, and therefore we have 4,000 Kubernetes pods on Google infrastructure. So that's the way we try to increase our capacity to handle more and more messaging between clients.
Are there any challenges that you ran into, you know, trying to get things set up for your startup business, you know, other than finding talent?
I have to do both of these tasks. So may I have your pardon? So
what was that?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, we are doing the messaging on both platforms, web and mobile. So we also have that front end client.
Okay, so what are you using to build out for mobile? Are you using Xamarin, or are they straight Android or iOS apps?
Originally, they start with native developments using the Objective-C and Java. Mm-hmm. However, they are trying also moving to some hybrid apps development environment using Flutter. It's quite pity that this was a decision before I joined the company. Otherwise, I will suggest to use to try MAUI or Xamarin, as you just mentioned, because the development experience is not bad, but however, you know, the documentation sometimes is not quite in place. So in a fast-moving company, we also have to balance how our developers can catch up the technology fast enough to produce the product. So that's why we are trying in parallel both React.js and Flutter.
Gotcha.
Hey, folks, I'm here with JD from Raygun.
You know, JD, we were talking just a second ago about empathy, and it seems like a common concept within the programming community. And yet, when we're building features for customers, a lot of times we call it done when it passes CI, deploys, and doesn't give us errors. And that really doesn't seem very empathetic when it comes to our customers, because we're not looking at what they're doing. Do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, until your code actually hits the customer, you don't really know if it's any good. You know, everybody uses things in so many different weird and wonderful ways. You can only really debug in production.
Yeah, I've been there. It's done. It's not done. Oh, crap. It's not done. I got to go fix it. Now it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we see things like error reports flowing into Raygun,
right,
you know, a lot of the time it's things where you just kind of go, oh, that was a configuration that as a developer, I didn't think could exist, but actually here's an example. And so it's connecting that code to customer and your development team through to real users and their experiences, which to your point, builds real empathy. And the best software teams care a lot about how their customers are experiencing their software.
Right. It's kind of the feedback from the app, but it's also kind of this meta feedback. As we do better, we tend to get less of this negative input back from our customer, which really does reflect empathy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think, to your point earlier about CI/CD pipelines, like, we've done an amazing amount of work as an industry to automate getting to prod really fast. But if you really want to go super fast, you need to close that loop with real-time feedback from prod back to the dev team. And that allows them to do things like fail forward and just do, you know, really leverage that investment in CI/CD, and it can turn into a real superpower.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to encourage you folks, set up your CI/CD, but then go sign up for Raygun. They'll actually give you a free trial, and you can get it at raygun.com.
I also see that you wrote an article about creating a Wordle-type game using Blazor and C#. That's kind of fun.
Blazor is one of my most really interested technology for recent years, because I think many .NET developers like me have this kind of situation before. We are all struggle in the JavaScript from framework hype. So most people will choose a React.js, and actually, I spent some months to try out each kind of framework. And at the end, I think a few years ago, I chose Vue.js because it's progressive and more easy to learn. However, at the time Blazor's coming out, I was so excited because I can finally write front-end apps in completely C#. And generated web assembly is quite impressive. And also it has multiple kinds of deployment options, which is very wonderful. You can do it completely front-end using the web assembly deployment. You can also do the server-side deployment if you need some server-side rendering. And you also mix them up. It is quite incredible, because if you have to do the same thing in other kind of technologies, for example, maybe React, you have to implement the server-side rendering in Node.js with maybe Express and need to communicate with React.js. Although all of them are based on JavaScript, it's still not an easy task to do that. However, in .NET, you can just, with a single .NET new command, you can already have the templates ready, and you can start working on it, which is great.
I have to admit, I've never played Wordle, so I'm probably one of the rare people out there that, you know, I've heard all about it, you know, that it was the latest craze, but I guess I'm just kind of old or too busy and haven't had a time to play it. So what's the rules of Wordle?
I've done it.
How do you do Wordle?
Yeah, you can actually, you just guess some words, and I have a plan to trying to move the Wordle repository into a more serious one, to include some ASP.NET backends instead of just load all the answers to the front end. And I'm also planning to do some experiments with Blazor also. So in future months, I may have new articles about Blazor and MAUI, see if I can make some AI applications with Blazor.
Cool.
Is Wordle like Hangman?
actually, it's more or more or less like that, because in Hetman, you every time you type characters, you lose a chance, and after a few attempts, the man was handed and you lose. However, in Wordle, you guess the whole word.
Oh, all at once, all at once. Okay, yeah. I get it. Yeah, so a little bit different there. I remember one of the very first programs that I wrote was a Hangman game, and it was on a TRS-80 color computer. It had 4K of memory, and I could only put 25 words in the Hangman game before I ran out of memory.
Yeah, in Hangman, you don't have hints when you're trying to guess each character, but in Wordle, when you submitting your answers, there will be some hints returned, just like a game called Mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
Did you remember?
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yep.
Just like Mastermind, because they will tell you which characters are correct in position and which characters are both in correct positions and the actual characters.
Cool. Well, so
you know, I found one of the things I'm really enjoying about Blazor is the reuse of code, right? We're doing WebAssembly, but between the WebAssembly and the API at the back end, right, we're sharing models, sharing validation, right? It's really nice. You have less code. It's cleaner, and it makes more sense to me. With your Wordle app, what have you done with Blazor that you liked most? What's the feature that you feel like you've got the most mileage out of?
Actually, that was one of my pet projects, and the nice part of Blazor is the development experience is very good. You don't have to install many tools to do that, because in JavaScript world, you also have to set up some build system, for example, webpacks and etc. But in Blazor, you just need the .sdk, I guess, and maybe Visual Studio Code, as most people are using nowadays. So the development experience is most impressive to me for Blazor. And another thing is, sometimes people may think, oh, you are using some Microsoft-based technology. You can't create some stunning user interfaces as the JavaScript does. But however, in Blazor, I think we can all do the same. We already create some very stunning UI. And actually, the Blazor project was using the Mud Blazor's UI component libraries. So it's quite easy to use. There's just like the same as my development experience in Vue.js.
So what was your experience with doing things like authentication and things like that with Blazor?
Actually, this is quite interesting and a bit tricky, because if you find some articles, answers from Stack Overflow or Medium, you always find that people are writing articles on Blazor, the server side of authentications, but seldomly talk about how to do that in the front-end side. So I've spent some time on it and found out that it was quite easy to do that, because actually you just have to override one class and edit some XAML in, I don't remember, maybe in main layout.razor, just two files you have to edit, and then you can just do the, although it maybe look like a fake authentication, but it's already enough for front-end, you know. Developers just should always do the series authentication on server side, but in some cases, you also have to display some authentication forms and limit access to some routes on your front-end apps, right? That's my part.
You know, I've done a little work myself with Blazor and front-end using Identity Server, Duende, and actually found it, when you're using .NET 6 and using the latest version of Duende, to actually be really straightforward using their backend for front end. So I do find these days it's much more straightforward, much simpler to get a .NET C# app up and running than it used to be.
So you've written a number of articles on Medium. Do you have any ideas of what your next article is going to be covering?
Actually, I did some experiments on how to write a very, very simple plugin architecture with just using C# and in a console application to demonstrate you can actually write some fluent APIs or plug-in like architecture code in just a few lines instead of maybe you have to do it very difficult in other backend technologies. For example, the idea is you just have console applications to print some line of text, but you can easily create some plugins to modify the text you edited in a pipeline way, just like the middleware pipelines in ASP.NET applications. So I'm trying to do that and demonstrate this kind of techniques in C# and in .NET console application. But this was my original planning, my next Medium articles. However, I think this may be too simple, and I'm thinking whether we can have some of my originally written in other technologies from the applications and then convert them into Blazors, and my next articles pending towards this direction.
Okay, great. We'll have to keep an eye out for those. So I think we're just about at our time for today. So I'm going to move us on to picks. That's all right. Eric?
Hi, this is Charles Max Wood from Top End Devs. And lately I've been coaching some people on starting some podcasts and in some cases, just taking their career to the next level. You know, whether you're beginner going to intermediate, intermediate going to advanced, whether you're trying to get noticed in the community or go freelance, I've been helping these folks figure out how to get in front of people, how to build relationships, and how to build their careers and max out and just go to the next level. So if you're interested in talking to me and having me help you go to the next level, go to topendevs.com/coaching. I will give you a 1-hour free session where we can figure out what you're trying to do, where you're trying to go, and figure out what the next steps are. And then from there, we can figure out how to get you to the place you want to go. So once again, that's topendevs.com/coaching.
Caleb, you want to go first? What's your pick?
Sure. Yeah, my pick is actually the third season of a show I really enjoyed. It's just came out. It's The Boys, season 3. It is very violent and graphic, similar to the comic books, if you've read the comics, which I've read some of them. But no, it's really well done, and the stars of it, especially Homelander, do a really good job. So I'm looking forward to watching the new season.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I watched any of that, but I don't know if my wife would go for something. She generally doesn't like the heavy violent shows and things like that. So we tend to watch most of the TV things that we watch, we tend to watch together because at night, gotcha. Things like that. So
yeah.
So my pick this week is actually the new series, Obi-Wan Kenobi. So we've got Disney Plus, and comes along with my phone plan. So that's nice. So they just came out with the third episode this week, and you know, Darth Vader is there, and so this is actually set about 10 years after the Revenge of the Sith. So after he kind of beat Anakin at that fire river, the river of lava were fighting at, things like that. So it picks up a little bit after that and deals with some of their children, which is an interesting thing, you know, because you think back when the original Star Wars first came out, that episode, you know, you're kind of filling in the gaps between there when Luke was the age that he has at that episode versus, you know, when the last thing you saw him is they were just born in the Revenge of the Sith. So it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many episodes are going to be for the season, but it was nice that, you know, they brought back Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen. So it's filling in well, and it's really interesting through at least 3 episodes. So check it out.
Okay, my pick is actually this week I watched some Japanese animations with my wife. I'm now suggesting a new anime to everybody called Spy's Family, which is very popular in Asia, I think. Oh, and I already see some children already cosplaying one character called Anya in Europe as well. This is a very interesting and funny and lovely comedy emulations in Japan, and it is still releasing each episode, maybe weekly, I think. So please check it out. It's so funny because it's about someone adopted a little girl with a superpower and having a very beautiful and good in martial arts wife. And actually, they are not in a real relationship of a family and causing many jokes.
All right, cool. So, yeah, thanks for coming on the show, Ferry. It was nice to have you as a guest.
Sure.
It was great. We'll include the links to your LinkedIn and articles in our show notes. So if our listeners want to check them out, they can do that. If our listeners want to get in touch with the show, they can get in touch with me. We'd love to hear what you want to hear from us. Topics to cover, feedback, get me on Twitter. I am at .NET Superhero.
Dun, 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 dun. And I am at Caleb Wells Codes.
All right.
Yes. I'm glad you missed it. I miss not being here.
Great. All right. Thanks, everybody. And we'll catch our listeners Yep. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll catch our listeners on the next episode of Adventures in .NET.
Bye, y'all.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.